Non-human army of alien invaders annexes Cork glow-in-the-dark lake. I bet you weren't expecting to hear that as a headline first thing on a Saturday morning. I wasn't expecting to say it, but not one single word of it is inaccurate. We got news on Countrywide this week of a very large fish kill in a salmon farm in Donegal that was caused by an inundation of jellyfish. That there were so many in the water that divers assessing the losses couldn't even leave the tiniest part of their skin exposed for fear of getting badly stung. That followed the deaths of over a million salmon in Scotland in recent weeks, also because of jellyfish and believed to be linked to recent marine heat waves. Then, because jellyfish news seems to come in threes, we got news at completely the other end of the country from Donegal. Tens of thousands of mauve stingers, a type of jellyfish, have made their way into the country's only saltwater lake, Loch Eyne, in West Cork. So, where to begin? Cork, Donegal, Scotland. Of course, we picked Cork. Where else would we go? And we started with Dr. Tom Doyle from UCC, the country's leading expert in jellyfish, and a sight that left him and other experienced marine biologists speechless.
This is Rob McGann, Professor Rob McGann.
Rob, how hello, right? How are you? Nice to meet you.
And this is Luke Harmon.
Nice to meet you, Philip, is it?
Yes.
Nice to meet you, how are you
doing? How are you, Luke?
Good.
So, this man knows more about Loch Eyne than anyone. Oh, look at it, yeah, they're just everywhere in the water.
Yeah, this is nothing, Luke. This is Tom. This is seriously nothing.
This is
a couple.
See one or two starting to come in?
Oh, yeah.
Carry on, Tom. Here, Alex, look behind you.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Tom, and it stretches right up, look.
Imagine what looks like from the distance, like an oil slick from a crashed tanker. Puddles of brown stained across the lake. Yeah,
they're in a kind of, like, it's like a slick that they're in.
That's it,
kind of
yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Look over there, look. Yeah. Look at that over.
Oh my God,
look at that over there. You can see the water is coloured and we're what? What are we...
Do you mean that's not seaweed?
Can you see that? Yeah, that's jellies.
Good Lord. And then, once you get right up on top of it, it looks more like a carpet of jellyfish. So solid, you'd be excused for thinking that it might support your weight.
There you go, Tom.
Oh, my God.
The water has just completely changed colour.
Yeah, you've just golden brown, and then you've these really strong pinks. Oh, my God.
And have a look on this. We're straight ahead of us, all the way through the gap. You can see all the brown patches.
There must be 10,000 here alone.
As I say, there's tens of thousands, if not possibly hundreds of thousands, definitely. Yeah.
So what you have here, probably, all those large pink ones, they may be parents. There are kind of, and then these are siblings. So these may have been offspring from these large pink ones that would have spawned maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago.
What are the chances that they take up permanent residence here now and reproduce in these kind of numbers?
This jellyfish is a real survivor. They can shrink. If there's not enough food, they can lose up to 70-80% of their body weight, so they can get really small. And then when the food comes back again, they can just go keep feeding.
But asking them to find their own way back out to sea through the rapids would be kind of like asking somebody who's blindfolded to thread a needle, wouldn't it?
They don't have much say over where they go. So they're in the lock now, and the only way they're going to come out is that rapids over there. You can see it behind a very narrow entrance and exit.
Tiny, yeah.
And so with this many in the lock now, it'll be amazing that all of them get swept back out again.
There's a working theory to explain why something that has never happened before in the recorded history of Loch Eyne should happen now.
There's a coastal current that runs off the west coast of Ireland. It's very deep down, maybe 500 metres deep down. When this is very strong, it acts as a barrier to these oceanic jellyfish, possibly. It's a barrier somehow that stops this oceanic water coming into our shallow seas.
And but do then, you think that that has slowed down or is less energetic?
The years where Pelagia was really abundant, that coastal current seemed to be weaker.
Okay.
So they can get pushed in onto our shores. The most likely explanation for what's happening is that shelf current is weaker this year, and it's allowed some of this oceanic water to push in into our shelf seas, into our shallow seas. And so that's what's probably happened. This is going to take, you know, it could take decades of research to really show that.
We glide over the surface of a jellyfish soup, trying to get our head around the numbers involved.
Yeah, there's a couple of different ways you can do it. One way you can do it is you put a big net in the water and you tow that along and you haul that net up and you quantify that and you know how long you towed it for. Okay. But we can't put, you know, if we put a big net in here and pull the two on it, then we're going to clog the net and burst the net as we lift it out.
It's not an exaggeration to say that this is running to the tens of thousands, maybe
hundreds
of thousands.
Oh, absolutely. No, they're easily tens of thousands now. Yeah, absolutely. We're going to be now studying this over the coming months, try to get down here and document where they are in the bay, what's their abundance, but importantly, what impact are they going to have on the loch, because they're predators.
Alien invasion and this kind of numbers, you would almost be expecting one to pop out of the water and say, take us to your leader. They're here in such strength. What kind of impact are they going to have on the residents who are already here in Loch Hyne?
Well, if I was a fish larvae, I'd be hiding, because these guys do feed on fish larvae. The loch here is famous for the sea sparkle or bioluminescence. So there's a little planktonic organism here called Noctiluca that causes this bioluminescence at nighttime. They'll probably feed on that as well, which was abundant up until a couple of weeks ago. It's really difficult to know what impact it will have, but they are so abundant, and this is such a small space.
It really shouldn't need saying, but just in case, I really do not think that swimming in Loch Hyne is a good idea right now. If you can't believe what you're just hearing and you need the evidence of your own eyes, I have just posted videos on Twitter and on Blue Sky of what it was that we saw underwater there. Now, I know that when you hear anything about ocean current changes, you tend to start thinking climate change, but it would be way too soon, according to Tom Doyle, to be putting this down to global warming just yet. More research needed. So to Donegal then, where 2 weeks ago the staff at a salmon farm in Inverbay between Donegal Town and Killybegs noticed higher than normal mortality levels among the salmon in the pens, which it had turned out had become swamped with jellyfish. Now the first suspicion was that this was probably connected to the loss of a million salmon in Scotland a few weeks previously due to warmer waters bringing large numbers of jellyfish in shore, but the temperatures in Donegal, 13 degrees, wasn't untypical for the time of year. All of which leaves Ben Hadfield, the chief operations officer for the Norwegian-owned conglomerate Maui, with a bit of a head scratcher. They own one of the less badly affected farms in Inverbay, and even so, it was still a very troubling loss for them.
The last couple of years, mainly induced by the El Nino conditions, we've seen a lot warmer temperatures in the sea, both in the winter and in the summer. And that has led to increased densities of jellyfish and some algae, which can be irritating to the fish's gills.
Ben, what happens to the fish's gills when they get attacked by a jellyfish? Do they basically end up drowning?
Drown's probably not the right way to put it, but it's like our lungs being damaged by smoke inhalation. The environment is creating a situation where the fish's gills are being damaged, and fish farmers have to work very hard to prevent that. It's harder to farm salmon in Ireland than it is, for example, in North Norway, the Faroe Isles, and Iceland. And the reason for that is the temperature, but also the proximity to the open Atlantic, where you get algae and jellyfish being advected in from oceanic waters. But then, as you know, there's also quite a high level of nutrient runoff from the lands in Ireland. So you can have a situation where you've got algae coming in to a flow of nutrients from the land, and you've got the prevailing winds concentrating algae in bays like Donegal Bay, and so you can end up with a very high level of jellyfish or algae or both, which can be toxic and damaging to the fish's gills.
And how bad was this attack in Donegal recently? What kind of casualty rates were you hit with?
In Ireland as a whole this year, the mortality has been substantially down, and I mean that in the context of farming throughout the year. We have seen mortality rates of less than 1% per month, which is low for any salmon farming nation. But during that period in October, we saw salmon mortality rise to around 3-4%, which is still low relative to what you would see in the wild for wild salmon. But from a farming perspective, you know, we've got a duty of care to the fish. We're looking after them to the best of our ability. It obviously affects the bottom line and profitability in farming. So when you get mortality rising from sub 1% per month to over 3%, then that's difficult for us.
Can we return to the raised temperatures for a second? I know you're putting it down to El Nino, but scientists here in the Marine Institute and in Bordish Kivara would say this is the trend now. The new normal is going to be in 10 years' time what we've experienced in 22 and 23. How big a risk is that for your industry?
Yeah, I think we acknowledge that when we look at our own temperature data and we see that over the last decade, the temperature has gone up, particularly in the winter, which, you know, when I joined this industry in 25 years ago, it was common to get 5 degrees in the sea. Now we don't see anything less than 8, at least in Scotland. And the same change has occurred, perhaps more so in Ireland. So it will become more challenging. Something that's often said is, you know, is it going to get too warm to farm salmon in Ireland or in Scotland? And that's unlikely to happen. Now, I'm concerned about global warming, and I observe the trends of El Nino, La Nina. But, you know, we're farming salmon in Tasmania at 19, 20 degrees. I'm responsible for farming operations in Canada, where we farm at 21, 22 degrees. And the waters around Ireland and Scotland are not going to get that warm, even with some of the most concerning projections of global warming.
Ben Hadfield from Maui. So the bottom line to all of this is that there is going to be more of this kind of thing. There is, though, a possible solution to the jellyfish problem, and one that is borrowed in part from nature. Bubble curtains. Scientists have noticed how humpback whales use bubbles to move fish around when they're hunting. And now Bordish Kivara are conducting trials in Irish waters using bubbles to exclude both jellyfish and plankton from the pens of the salmon farms. Dr. Joanne Gaffney from BIM told me how seriously the agency responsible for aquaculture regards the related threats of jellyfish and climate change.
The patterns are changing, the population is changing, and also the frequency and the duration of blooms of these species is also projected to change with climate change.
On the spectrum of occasional nuisance up to serious problem, where does it lie?
I think it's becoming an emerging problem. The farmers are looking at it more and more and saying this is something that we may not have had in our top 10 risk list 10 years ago, 20 years ago, but we're now in the position that we see this as a risk to our stock, and therefore we need to take action to respond.
And there are tech fixes. Have they worked elsewhere?
The tech fixes have worked elsewhere. The bubble curtain is effectively a virtual fence around a farm. So in the same way that terrestrial farmers use a fence, the bubble curtain acts as a fence. Creates a barrier of clean air between the sea outside the farm area and the area where the fish are farmed. So all we're producing is a virtual fence of clean water that holds out plankton and zooplankton.
And does one size bubble fit all jellyfish and plankton, or do you require different bubbles?
It's the same bubble. It's clean, dry air pumped through a leaky pipe close to the seabed that creates a barrier and prevents species coming into contact with the fish. I think it's important to say that the curtain doesn't prevent all species from getting through, but the idea is that you exclude enough species so that the fish's natural defences can deal with the challenge.
Thank you.
You've seen the projections for what's going to happen to sea surface temperatures in the years ahead, and that we had a glimpse this year of what it's going to be like, typically maybe 10 or less years from now. Are you worried about the sustainability of this industry, or is this fix actually a solution?
I think this fix, along with other initiatives, will be the solution. I think the challenges facing the aquaculture sector are no different from that facing any other farmer on this island. We are going to have to change our practices. We're going to have to change how we manage our farms. We're going to change the technology we use. But we have to farm seafood. The EU has a massive deficit in seafood. We only catch about 40% of that which we consume. Food security is going to become an increasing issue with climate change. The EU, the FAO, the UN are all saying aquaculture has a role to play here, and therefore we must find the solutions to sustain this industry.
Dr. Joanne Gaffney from Bord Uíschí Mhara.